Hey everybody, it's Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report, and today we're going to continue a discussion we had the last few days about recruiter issues. And this time, you know, I don't want to come across like we are bashing any recruiter station, because unfortunately, you know, the recruiter situation is what it is, and they are all franchises of the Navy, so to speak, and you're not going to have, you know, perfectly ideal situations in every recruiter station. There's no consistency with some of the little things. So obviously some of the major things have to be consistent with big Navy and things right. like that. But, you know, it's just difficult to have some of the same information being shared out there to be standard nationwide. You know, you're just going to find some differences here and there. So you're going to have to deal with that. And once again, I think it all comes down to what Jeff and I have been saying for a while now, is just that if you are a better prepared recruit, better physically prepared, better mentally, academically, understand the whole process. I mean, there's a ton of information out there. You might have to get bored reading some of the recruiting manuals that you can find on PDF online.
Yeah.
But you know, it's up to you, really. And you can alleviate some of these issues that we have. And we get emails all the time of just horrible stories from guys, whether it's, you know, they're trying to do a program, but then their recruiter wants them to do something else, or, you know, PT twice a week or PST twice a week or whatever. You know, it's going to be different wherever you go. And, yep. You know, you're going to have to figure out how to deal with that and be a team player. You know, this is all about being a team. I mean, when you go to Buds, you're not going to have a choice on which program you're going to do, you know. So if you're going to do a program, you got to be smart about it. You know, ask us questions. We're here to help with that. I would much rather be giving advice on fitness and training and programming than all the little administrative BS that you have to deal with a recruiter. That's right. Not my thing, and nor Jeff's.
Right. Yeah, I think what maybe Stu and I have become a bit of a victim of our own willingness to share information, which is fine. But what we find is, ironically enough, because Stu was contacted yesterday by the Richmond, Virginia region recruiting office just to help educate us on, you know, what is the draft, what's the auto qual, what are, you know, age waivers, just information coming straight in. We appreciate the recruiter being able to do that, because it takes a little bit of humility to kind of reach out to us, and us as well have some humility to listen to really what they have to offer and teach us. So we're a little bit outside of our expertise, and we understand that. So because we are focusing on training, and training is the one thing that you do have overall control of. So we want to be able to, we want you to take control of that first. When you take control of that first, your training, you know, for a duration of time to where you are exceeding the standard, then you go see a recruiter. Because the point of this is, Stu and I've tried to, over the last, you know, 24 hours or so, walk in the shoes of a recruiter a little bit and say, okay, well, we're broadcasting a lot of problems or issues that the candidates have to deal with the recruiters, but think about the chain of command above those recruiters. There's a ton of variables that the recruiters ought to take into account. And the term, you know, the needs of the Navy supersede the needs of any candidate that's ever going to walk in the door, unless you have exceeded the physical standards and made the job of the recruiter that much easier.
Yes.
So understand that, where when you walk into a recruiter's office not ready to take the PST, you are in the same playing field as someone coming into the recruiter with no intent of going to spec war. Physically, you're the same thing.
Yep.
Just because you want to go to Buds or EOD or SWCC, or doesn't matter, this guy that just came off the street that wants to be a master at arms or a gunner's mate, there's a chance that person may be more physically prepared than you, right? And they're not even going to a spec war billet. So you have to understand that if you walk into a recruiter's office completely physically unprepared or mentally prepared because you haven't been studying for the ASVAB, or you've had – because here's the thing, and kind of the summary for me is that this all at the end of, regardless of your recruiter, regardless of your relationship with your recruiter or mentor or scout team leader, whatever it is, it all comes down to you as a candidate. You're ultimately responsible. And so that's what we're saying. I know we're capturing people at different timelines in depth, some early, before, some middle, some after they've been doing it for 4 months and they're disgruntled. But ultimately, if all these people that were somewhere in between of super happy and got what they want and super unhappy and actually many joined the Army instead, right? If you had gone into that office physically prepared and exceeding the military or the BUD standard or the selection standard, you probably wouldn't have had any of those issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's easy for us to cast blame, but we've got to look at ourselves first and go, all right, did I physically prepare?
Right. I agree. I mean, I think that is first and foremost, you know, if you look at all the different stressors that are going to happen to you when you join the military, one, you leave home. Two, you live in a barracks with a bunch of strangers. Three, you know, you're getting yelled at all the time. And you got to learn all this stuff on a very steep learning curve. And four, you're going to have some physical fitness to deal with, you know, and out of all of those, the only thing you can really control is your ability to handle the physical fitness stress, right? And you can make any physical PT a stress reliever versus a stress increaser, getting injured and all of those things, whether you're going spec war or not. That's military wide. So that's how seriously we take it, you know, the physical mission of what these guys are trying to do. And besides, you know, if you look at the recruiter's job, you know, it's not hard to get guys to come into that recruiting office to say, hey, I want to be a Navy SEAL. You know, they're not having problems with people coming in the door.
Yeah.
You know, I think the whole spec war community has a problem with getting guys to graduate, but that's been since 1963.
Yeah.
You know, when so they think started.
Think about how daunting these numbers are, folks. So we'll just say for the sake of, you know, the average person that fails BUDS between around 84, 87%, depending on the year, that's 84% of people that have been selected and assessed and have met standards or exceeded standards. Imagine the percentage of people that are going to see recruiters that say they want to be in Navy SEAL that pass. So we're saying 85% of the people fail at BUDS. I guarantee you the percentage of people coming into recruiters saying, I want to be a SEAL, that actually become a SEAL, then now, and that's after the recruiter spent time with them and invested, you know, planning and trying to find waivers and getting moral waivers and all these sort of DUI issues that guys that want to be SEALs or whatever. This probably 99.999% of people that go in any recruiter office that want to be a SEAL quit, fail, don't meet the standards before they even get into a SEAL billet or a spec war billet. So you got to take it from the perspective of where are you at on that spectrum? If, hey, you know, Joe Schmo, I'm going to go to the recruiter. On that spectrum of that 0 to 100%, where do you fall? Are you falling in with everyone else that it's 99% of the people fail at the point you start at because you never even came in prepared? So you got to decide where you want to be. And because here's the thing is you are joining a society of people that are exceptional performers. Now I'm saying exceptional people. I'm talking exceptional performers. If you're showing up as just average Joe, why would a recruiter go, you know, go to bat for you? If you walk in the door and go, hey, I've been training for about 6 months, 7, 8 months, a year even. I've done a bunch of PSTs. Certainly they're not official, but here's my pretty good numbers. You know, I've got good grades. I've been studying for my ASVAB. Shouldn't be an issue. I've taken a couple practice ASVABs. Oh, and I'm an athlete. I've been on a debate team. All these sort of things that Stu even put into place going to the academy to get that leadership up. You walk in with that resume, right? Or you're that person, or you're the guy that just kind of rolls in off the street with messed up hair because he doesn't have a summer job because he dropped out of high school. You know what I mean? Like, there is a lot of – where on that spectrum do you fall as a candidate? Do you fall on the exceptional end, or do you fall in with the rest of the 99% of the people that walk in and say they want to be SEALs?
Yeah. Like I said, so take a look at what the recruiter has to sift through to get a finished product.
Yep.
You know, and thing is they don't even see the finished product. All they see is the guys that go off to boot camp and then hear about the finished product, which, you know, they may have sent 100 people to Buds in the last year, you know, that one recruiter, not saying the mentor and all that. Obviously, they'll send more. But the, you know, that recruiter station may have less than a handful of Buds graduates out of those 100 people that joined.
And so, you got to think, too, is, you know, of – let's say like the recruiter Navy recruiting station, like less than a mile from my house, and it's right next to a gym. It's right next to One Life Fitness, a big, big gym. And there's actually a good bit of, I've actually been in there because I've taken my previously brother-in-law to go there. He became an Army pilot, a helicopter pilot, and or that was his goal. But anyway, so I took him in there, and there was a lot of people in that recruiting office, a lot. And so my point is that you're going to get a handful of guys that want to go to Buds. Well, that's not what that recruiting depot is there for, is just to cater to Buds students.
Nope.
That recruiting office is going to have another, especially in Virginia Beach, another 15 or 20 or 30 people at any given month that they also have to work with and help. So don't think that you're special. You have got to make yourself stand out. And the best way to do that, be physically ready, stay clear of trouble, create a good resume.
Yeah. And know what you're getting into. You know you have to take the C-sort. You have to take the ASFAB. You know, take a couple practice rounds on that ASFAB. I don't think the C-sort's readily available to take. You know, it's one of those things that you don't need to study for. You just need to answer questions about how you would handle certain situations and who you are and things like that. But, you know, we talked a little bit about the term auto-qual the other day. You know, and don't get caught, you know, in the loop of this auto-qual. Worry about it too much. If you go in there and you're a really good candidate, you know, you may not auto-qual because it's an algorithm. It doesn't matter, you know, that you have the best PT scores that recruiter's ever seen. That doesn't mean you're going to auto-qual. They look at the overall candidate in everything. So, you know, what's your PST scores? What's your C-sort? What's your ASFABs? Is there an extensive waiver process this guy has to go through or not? You know, if you don't have to go through a moral waiver issue, you're a better candidate than a guy who does, you know, and all those things are part of the auto-qual program. And it doesn't matter. I mean, if you at master the PT and you get picked up after the first draft, who cares? You all get a contract if you can do that.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
There's no marker. There is no analytical marker saying, because again, the information that we received was awesome from the recruiter saying, hey, you know, there's this internal sort of comparison between the candidates of ones that have, you know, made it in the draft and got picked up and auto-qualed, and they sort of, but the reality is the percentage of completion through Buds for auto-quals is not any higher than it was. They'll get, you know, they're got by the hair in their chinny chin chin in the draft.
Right.
Doesn't matter. It's funny. It's the same stuff I remember in Buds was, you know, guys that had been in the recycle pipeline. Gotta sneeze. Guys that, you know, get hurt early on in Buds are decent enough guys and they hang around, they still have a white shirt and they're acting like they're hot shit. Right. And then 3 weeks later, I've made it through Hell Week and the guy that was super arrogant to me, right, is now behind me, substantially behind me. Okay, so the thing is it's not about what you are when you go in. It's what you are when you come out of selection.
Yeah.
And I mean that because very small percentage of people make it through. There's a ton of people make it too. That's not a feather in your hat.
No.
And that's exactly what Stu said yesterday. He's like, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of, I mean, there's been 100,000 or more Buds students, right? And there we're talking about 15,000 that made it through, which is still a high number in my opinion. But my point is that your goal isn't to get to Buds, all right? Goal is to get through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a really good insight to see how that, to have a conversation with somebody that really knew kind of how that process worked. But again, just looking at their chain of command is, you know, for every one Bud student that comes into Recruiting Depot, there's probably three or four other Navy candidates for other jobs. Like,
yep,
they're not going to put their priority. If this was such a priority, the recruiting depot would just be a spec war recruiting depot.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point, because, you know, here's the problem. You know, you call your recruiter, you email your recruiter. He may not get back to you for a week. You know, he's got a lot going on, you know, and I mean, it would be nice if you could have something a little quicker, but you know what, if you make that recruiter's job easier, I guarantee you that recruiter will talk to you a lot quicker, because he sees, hey, I don't have to put 8 months of this guy in depth and wait for him to get through. You know, especially if he sees your entry scores, your delayed entry program, and you're not even at the minimum standard, you know, to get two buds, you know, he sees, as he's experienced in years of doing this, or months, you know, depending on, you know, how new he is or what, but he's seen it take 6, 8, 10 months for this guy to go from here to there to be able to qualify. That's a lot of time that you're going to be nagging this recruiter. So, you know, if you go in there, boom, 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 nail everything, got it squared away, guess who's going to be calling you to say, hey, you got a contract, this is your date, here's all we need to do before you leave, you got to get this done, you know, you're on a bus in 1 month.
Yep. It is your duty, and I mean this, to make the job as easy as you can for your recruiter.
Yeah.
And the way to do that, again, be physically prepared. Okay. Doesn't matter what it's, people are like, well, what does that mean? If you don't know what that means, you probably should keep training. Okay. Cause it's this weird sort of, again, this, we live in this world where a lot of people want to be spoon fed. If you don't think you're ready, right, keep training. Now, is it ever a perfect time to go in? Not necessarily, but at some point where you should be able to step into that population. And again, I keep saying resume. It's not a necessarily a physical thing, like you're handing him a resume, but you got to get yourself in order.
You know what? Here's a good way to look at it too. You know, if you go to see your local mentor and a PST before you actually sign in, maybe just ask to watch one, right? And notice the guys that are leaving in 2 weeks or a week, and notice the guys that just showed up there for their first day, right? Notice the difference. You know, because those guys that are leaving in a week or two, are, you're going to look at those guys and say, wow, I need to up my game, because if I want to go down this road, I need to be better prepared. Yeah. You know, I remember when I met the first guy, this is before I ever met a Navy SEAL. I met the first guy I ever that wanted to be a Navy SEAL. And he was a senior. I was a freshman at the academy. And I remember looking at him saying, and watching him do all this stuff. And I mean, we were running like a platoon formation run, and he was running circles around us, you know, with a ruck on. And I was like, holy crap, who is this guy? Right. And he just made everything look easy. He jumped on a pull-up bar, did 40 pull-ups. I was like, ah, who is this guy? You know, I watch him swim. He swims like a fish. I was like, wow, you know what? I need to up my game if I'm going to go down this road.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily I had 2-3 years to do that. You know, so, you know, find the guys that are almost there, right? Yep. And, you know, and just look at their abilities. You know, if you can beat them, hey, you're ready to go. You know, if you can't, you might need to train a little harder.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it couldn't be said better. And this is just goes to why student, I say, take your time, be patient, train, because – some of you may or may not realize this. This is not a scare tactic, because everybody can get to you know, the guy that Stu just explained. I do believe fundamentally that everybody can get to that point.
Absolutely.
Everybody, the worst athlete in the world.
We don't
get to be physically prepared like that.
Yep. You don't need to be an athlete to be in great shape.
No. And that's the thing is, like, that when you show up to Buds, everyone, almost everyone, is going to be like that. Like, that was the coolest thing that I ever noticed about Buds. One of them is that when I showed up and it was like PT time, I was like, holy crap, man. Like, everybody can do this. There's not like, I can kind of do 8 pull-ups, but everyone's like, yep, we're doing 15 or 20 and we're doing them on cadence. And then, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do push-ups. And we're going to climb ropes. And everyone's like, I mean, there were some guys that clearly weren't as good as others and they didn't make it. But the vast majority of the people at Buds are like performers.
Yeah. By the time you get to second and third phase, you know, your whole class is crushing things.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not a task that you are asked to do that everyone in your Buds class can't do. That's the beauty of the first 5 weeks of Buds.
Yep.
Because it sifts out all those people who walked in the recruiter's door, you know, basically not prepared going into SEAL training.
Right.
And showing up at SEAL training. Hey, I made it to Buds. Hey, yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's why Jeff and I break the whole tactical fitness genre into three phases. You got to get to the training, which is a completely different style of programming. You got to get through the training, more specific on whatever training you're doing, and then your active duty operator training and maintenance and stress mitigation and all those things come into play. So,
yeah. So I mean, here's my summary is this, is that this is all part of, you know, the research that the student I keep talking about. Be an adult, go talk to your recruiter, explain it, be open and transparent, because if you're open and transparent and you're not getting that reciprocated, you're going to know something's a little bit off. But if you're like, hey, I plan on fully coming, you know, to jump in the debt program, but right now for the next couple months, so I'm not wasting anyone's time, I'm going to get more physically ready. Or don't even say that. Just be like, hey, I'm looking at, you know, joining the Navy here in the next year or two, but I just want to get an information on, okay, what's a process look like just to join the Navy?
Right.
Meet with a recruiter, and then once I take my ASVAB score, they're going to give me that score, will allow me to pick from jobs. From that job, I pick a job. Once I pick a job, I go to MEPS, right? I do that screening. Once I get the thumbs up, we pick a date shortly thereafter or whatever. Because most people that are going to the Navy, like from the sailing, like, you know, the fleet side, they're not going to stay in the debt program very long, probably. They could, you know, if, hey, I just want to finish my associate's degree, and that's an 8 months. I'm going to be in the debt program, finish my, so whatever. You see that a lot. A lot of people finish their associate's degree. But my point is that the process that I began to explain, that's exactly what the recruiter's job is to do, is inform you. And once he or she informs you and what that looks like, then you take your life and go, okay, that's on my map. I got that. I've got that 4-month process, we'll call it. You know, that's a pretty quick process, meeting with a recruiter, a couple, you know, maybe 2 months. But I'm going to get everything sorted out before I even begin that process. But now I know what that process looks like. But your process should begin with exceeding the standards of the PST. That's your first process, aside from getting your life in order, not being a turd. But again, I'm not saying, because we've all made bad decisions, but you know, when it's time to put on a military uniform, it's time to be an adult, put on some real responsibility. And that's the thing too about the recruiters you don't understand, is that recruiter has a tremendous amount of responsibility. If you put more responsibility or you put more work on that plate of that individual rather than alleviate it, he or she is less apt to help you. So help them.
Yeah. Agreed. So if you guys got any questions, comments, post them, let us know. You know, we'll specifically address them if there's something that's, you know, worth addressing, or we'll at least answer them in the comments below.
Sure.
You know, obviously if there's any information that has changed or is different in your recruiting district, share that as well. Like I said, not all information is 100% identical from one recruiting district to the other, but the big parts are, and obviously the big parts that Jeff and I obviously stress are the same regardless, no matter where you're going. So crush everything
for sure. So, yeah. All right, Stu, I appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll see you.